us all. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
And open to why God has brought us today in his presence. It's always a divine appointment, whatever God calls us to and for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are working with us every second, every moment of the day. And Lord, so often we're not aware consciously what you're doing, but you're always there and you're always faithful and you're always working everything together for good, for your glory and for our benefit. And Father, you desire today to feed us and teach us and to show us your ways. Help us to listen with our whole heart, our whole being and our whole mind. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I trust we've got good sound. Praise God. And I'm going to continue our teaching on stand fast in the power of his might. Stand fast in the power of his might. And as you know, we're taking this in from Ephesians chapter 6. And this is about the whole armour of God. And I'm taking my time with this verse by verse because I believe this to be very important, very instrumental in the overcomer's life and our pressing in. And it is very instrumental with the bride that's making herself ready now in these last days. I've looked much at teaching and listened to teaching on the whole armour of God. I've read the commentaries and many of them are blessed and anointed for the time that was given, but there's little information with regard to what actually we are up against with regard to forces, principalities, powers, dominions. There seems to be a lack of understanding and insight as to what our warfare is entailed. But we have received now the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is very instrumental, because the baptism is an empowerment for us to be able to be prepared, to be trained, to enter now into this final spiritual warfare that the church has to face. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not have this full understanding. You will not have this experience, because what I'm teaching you is not only just theological in its application, but it also has a practical side. And we have to experience this spiritual warfare. The same is indeed you have to experience the new birth, walking with Jesus. It is an experience, and there's nothing like it. And that is what we want to impart to you through these teachings, as you take this up and you begin to enter into this as the Holy Spirit leads and guides. He's not going to force us into this last battle, but it's as we make ourselves available. Here am I, use me, Lord. And that's ultimately all that he wants. And he will do the rest as we consecrate ourselves for this work of the last day. Because I can tell you that there are many professing believers and in churches up and down the world who are really running away from this. That every time the devil growls, they run. And of course, that is all the enemy can do at the end of the day, is just make a big roaring sound. But he can't harm you, because you have the whole armour of God. And that's why I'm spending time with regard to this armour. Well, we're continuing to look at verses 14 and 15, which says in Ephesians 6, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And that is really what I want to concentrate on today. Now, the whole armour of God includes the rest of these verses that we're now going to spend time on over the next few weeks. And these next few verses speak, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Amen. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And then it goes on about how this is applied in verse 18, "praying with all prayer and supplication." We'll look at that at a later time. But fundamentally, as I looked at this, there are basically six requirements for the armour to be effective. As we look at this, it speaks about to stand. We've already been talking about standing, enduring, being resolute, because you can't have an army if you don't stand. And then it speaks about truth. It speaks about righteousness. It speaks about peace. It speaks about faith. And finally, salvation and the Holy Spirit. These six requirements for the armour to be effective. Now, in any military service, you have to pass the tests of training. You can't go in to battle if you do not pass your training. It's an absolute requirement. And in that training, which some of us probably are aware, they are pushed to the limit, to the point of breaking. And God does exactly the same with us in our training. He is pushing us almost to the point where we're breaking. But we don't. Because the loving arms of God are ever there supporting us. But this begins to explain our trials, our testings, our experience, our circumstances, the situations that we find ourselves in. It explains clearly this is our training for the last days. And God has made no mistake in what he's doing with us. And it looks peculiar. It looks strange. This shouldn't work in the natural, but it does. Why? Because God is training us. And in this training, we have to pass the tests. And most of these tests, this passing, is simply letting go. Because we're the hindrance otherwise. The ultimate of this testing is to let go and that we walk by faith and faith alone. And that is how principally God has worked with all the saints right through the centuries. You see, the powers of darkness know if you lack in these areas. They often can pick out weaknesses before even we can. Because it requires the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us. So again, this is why we stand together both individually and corporately as a body, as believers, the overcomers, because in that standing, this is where God can work. And this deals with any chink in the armour, anything that is still lacking. And whatever is lacking, and there may well still be things that are lacking, God knows all things. But the point is, we stand. And that deals with it, you see. Now, the apostle has already laid out what we war against. And I've spent time over the last weeks sharing with you what it is that we are warring against. We've shown you it's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers, rulers, darknesses of this age, spiritual hosts, wickedness in heavenly places. It's all on tape. It's all there on the website if you want to go over it again, because we need to move on. But I've spent time giving some insight as to the number of things that we are up against with regard to our warfare. And so the apostle, he's laid this out to us. And if you find that this isn't really for you, or you are battling, or you're finding this fear and thinking, well, I don't know whether I can go on with this. I don't know whether I can stand in this. This sounds absolutely mind-boggling. I can't get my mind, my intellect around this. Well, inquire of the Lord, because that is why we've got verse 18. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We pray one for another in this. The same as you pray for me. Because I find this scary sometimes. I find sometimes as a preacher, have I lost it? Is this insanity that's coming out? I too have to really get before God, and I value your prayers that I can be sound in the word, that we can press on with this, because the powers of darkness are trying to stop this. They're trying to stop me preaching this. And you don't know half and a quarter what I go through, and I don't tell you, and I don't want you to know. But I do. It costs to preach this, because the enemy knows what this is achieving. It is dividing his kingdom.
Amen.
And thank God you've got verses like verse 18 here. Because prayer is the key. You get before God. You inquire before God. Yes, you tell him sometimes, I can't take any more. I've come to the end. And there's the loving arms. There's his strength taking over in weakness. It's the only way I know to talk to him. I only know to be honest with him. Because I don't know anything else. Because I cannot rely in myself, my flesh. It would have failed years ago. So, with that introduction, he says, take up this whole armour that we can withstand in the evil day. We've been looking at that. Here again, verse 14, the word comes up again. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having girded your waist with truth. Well, what is truth? That is what the enemy likes to throw at us. How do you know you have the truth? Who has the truth? Everyone reckons that they have the truth. Politicians believe they have the truth. Every leader, king, despot through history believes that they have the truth. Every king or queen believes that they have ruled with truth. That is always the big argument. And the enemy is very good how he comes up with that. Well, turn with me to John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was absolutely categorical. He was absolutely firm in what he said. You see, he couldn't have said that if he had not used the verb here, I am. It's a capital I. I am the way. In other words, it means there is no one else. Nothing else exists. I am. I am the eternal one. I always have been and I always been. I am uncreated, eternal spirit. Always have been. There never was a time when I was not. That's how that reads. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me or by me. I am truth, no lie. And that is why we have the scriptures, we have these 66 books, and there is not one jot or tittle of doubt or lie or anything. It is all pure truth, undefiled.
Yeah.
No blemish. That is what he says it is. And we know that all the saints were motivated and moved by that. Abraham, Genesis 24. In this it speaks of the story of where he sends his servant out to get a bride for Isaac. And when the servant's eyes behold Rebekah, listen to what he says in Genesis 24, verse 48. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. That truth that Abraham lived by, heard from God, had also spoken to his master as well. Truth always sets us free. Always. So, we're studying the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth. Now, there is a difference between truth and unity. How do we know? We know by the ecumenical move. They want to unite, and they believe it is in truth. But you can't. You can't unite with the Mother Church, Rome. The scriptures show it's harlotry. So there's this confusion amongst professing believers between the difference between truth and unity. Look how subtle the devil works. You see, it's dangerous, isn't it, to challenge the authority of Scripture. And yet we find that they get up calling themselves believers, and here they're challenging, they're changing the Word of God. And one of the things we are noticing in the world today, and particularly in this land, is the utter confusion. You can cut it almost with a knife. And you know why it is? Because they are moving further and further away from the truth. They want to believe the lie. And the lie will be through Antichrist. He is preparing the world. He's preparing nations to receive this lie. And we see how the powers of darkness are working through all of this. And it's coming to a place where we are going to be persecuted because we are defenders of the truth. And we will not compromise from it. Nothing's new under the face of the sun. Turn to something you know very well, but very important in the context of what we're talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Which says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And it goes on. Listen to what he says here, back in verse 19. "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." Now, the world does have a certain amount of wisdom. And we use it from time to time. And yet he says he's going to destroy this. He says he brings to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So the prudent, those that are really seeking to live a good life, to do the right thing, to help your neighbour in that sense. There's a lot of good people out there. Some of them sadly, can be better than Christians in the house of God. Yet look what he says. I'm destroying all of that for the sake of truth, because he is truth. So, feelings are not truth. Traditions are not truth. And yet we can be so bound by them.
Yes.
Denominationalism is bound by tradition. And it thinks it's truth. And boy, if you try and challenge it, you meet great opposition. But it isn't truth. Feelings most certainly are not truth. And we all have feelings. That's why I don't rely on my feelings, because they change. I can only rely on the revealed word of God.
Amen.
What does it say in 2 Peter chapter 1? This settles it once and for all. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20-21. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, much of what we have, and in the New Testament, they spoke, they were moved. It was a compulsion. It was like the Holy Spirit took over at that point, and they could only speak out the truth because God took over. That is what we have. And yet they say, oh, it was man that wrote it and everything.
Yeah.
It clearly shows the Spirit of God moved, because he is the Spirit of truth.
Mm.
So, here we are, brothers and sisters, standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That is the truth that will war against the powers of darkness. That you in no way are influenced or persuaded. You are sound on the word of God. And whatever the circumstances, however you feel, it doesn't change with regard to my warfare. So truth, the breastplate of righteousness, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what is this? Well, from the neck to the navel, that is where the breastplate of righteousness is. In other words, it's from the abdomen to the thorax. What does this contain? The heart, lungs, kidneys, and liver.
All the vital organs.
And this is the area of our heart. This is the area where God resides, dwells with man. It is the seat of the emotions. It is our will from this part of us. It's where we love from this part of us. It's where we believe. Where we believe from the heart. As well as the heart can be hardened also. God harden Pharaoh's heart. Scary. In the days of Noah, God saw that man's heart was only for evil. What was God doing there? He hardened their hearts. And the tragedy is that Jesus said in the last days it will be like the times of Noah, times of Sodom and Gomorrah, which means a hardening of the heart. The seat of the emotions, the place that God should reside and be there, he's not there. Man has become reprobate. His conscience has become seared. That is the seat of the emotions, the will. And that's why we see violence on the increase. This is why we see emotions like they are running wild. We are seeing, and the enemy and demons use this. They feed on this. I'm going to be talking about this later on, how these open doors are a means of demons manifesting. That is what feeds demons. Did you know that demons have to be fed? They are spiritual appetites. They are leeches. And they use man and they try to keep him out of the presence of God so that they can manifest, they can survive, they can live. But we'll look at that at a later time, because there's an awful lot I want to show about that. But God hardened Pharaoh's hearts. In the days of Noah, there was only evil. And God was sorry he'd made man. But Noah found grace, mercy in the sight of God and his family. And in many ways, it is exactly the same. That is why it's going to be a few. A few are entering into that spiritual ark because they have seen the door is open. Judgment is coming. Most of the world, and sadly even Christendom, is asleep to this. And that is why we're to serve God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, our being, out of the breastplate, the heart. We're to serve him with all our heart. Aaron was to wear the breastplate over his heart when he went before the Lord with regard for the people. That is one of the characteristics of a pastor, a priest. He has that breastplate on. It is over the heart. He has a heart for the church, a heart for the people. You search for God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being. That's how you found him. It was your heart that was involved in this. It wasn't just head. And that's why the heart needs protection. It needs protection from Satan, from demonic forces. Because love can affect the abdomen, the bowels of compassion, we've heard. Our hearts can be affected. Our hearts are so sensitive. They're delicate. That is the nature of love. And that is why we put on that breastplate, to protect against the enemy, to protect against our wills and our emotions that can otherwise run riot. So the breastplate is protecting you in warfare from your emotions trying to control. The breastplate is there in warfare to protect you with your will, so that your will can be surrendered still in adversity, in that battle, you are still yielded to the will of God. Because that's where the tests are. So there we are, brothers and sisters. I make no apology for spending time with this. I've shown you first truth, and I've shown you now what this breastplate of righteousness is. These are the outlines, the six requirements, as I've already given, that show with regard to the whole armour of God. It then speaks not only of this breastplate, but it speaks of righteousness. It is a breastplate of righteousness. It's not just a breastplate. In nature, It is righteous. Why righteous? Because it is Christ's righteousness imputed to us. That is why I always said at the beginning, this armour is really the armour of God, living, residing in us and through us. And it is Christ's righteousness that is imputed to us, not our righteous acts. In other words, this righteousness, it has been done for me. God made Jesus to be that sin offering who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. He put my sin on Jesus' account, and he bore that punishment as a result. That is what we're meaning by this righteousness. In other words, my account and what I owed has been completely cleared, because we couldn't pay it. I couldn't pay it. There was only one who could pay this, and his name is Jesus. This is what I mean by this breastplate of righteousness. Philippians 3 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Well, let's take it from verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. For the purpose, and what is it? That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, may conform to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We're made righteous, that we might know him. Because we won't know him otherwise. So this breastplate of righteousness is an experience that we may know him. And this is why Satan often attacks us. And he tries to attack us in the area of sin and unbelief. Because it's by faith that we know him. That it's appropriate. This is why we don't move away from the faith teaching, which is the foundation of the overcoming message. Because it is the key to it. And we have that hope and assurance because we have wonderful scriptures like 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 9. This is the message which we have heard from him, declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So there we are. This is why Satan tries to attack in the area of sin and unbelief. But praise God, he has even provided for that in his mercy and grace. And this is why Satan attacks mostly in the area of emotions and feelings. Your emotions, your feelings have caused you to sin. That's often what it does. This is why I make much about this and I expose it. Because I know these emotions, these feelings will get us off course, will get us looking away from the truth, whose name is Jesus, and it causes us to sin, to compromise. But even God has provided for that, and he's working with that, and we are learning, aren't we, as it's dropping from our heads to our hearts. Whatever this trial is, there's one thing I am not going to rely on, and that is my emotions, because at the moment, my emotions are running riot. They're running riot, and they do. We can be hot and cold, cold and hot, within seconds at times. But we're learning to stand upon the word of God, to stand upon the one who changes not, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So there we are. Here is this breastplate, which I've shown you what it is, which covers the heart, that sensitive area, the area where God resides, dwells, that fellowship, protected. But it's not only a breastplate that protects us, it is righteous. Means that I am changed. I now can wear this breastplate proudly because it is my protection. I have been made right with God. And the enemy knows this. And that is why he tries to attack. And he tries to attack so often with these emotions and feelings. Well, let's move on. Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, your feet, brothers and sisters. Before I really get into this, something that I read which fascinated me with regard to this. Roman soldiers, they used to have special sandals for battle. And the reason that they had special sandals, which had very thick soles, and these sandals tied up around the leg so that they were absolutely firm, they couldn't fall off. And not only that, but they also had little spikes underneath the soles, just like golfers have when they play golf. Now, why did they have such sandals for warfare? Well, in those days, they used to use a type of landmine. We know what landmines are, small explosives. Well, in those days, what they used to do when they used to go into the battlefield, where they knew where a battle was going to take place often, they used to make very sharp pointed sticks, which they used to bury in the ground, but the points were just sticking out. So if the enemy was running towards or walking towards, suddenly they were pierced in their feet by these little points that came out of the ground. And of course, that weakened them. They could be destroyed. I thought that was a wonderful analogy of how God has prepared our feet that are shod for the gospel, that we can withstand against those fiery darts of the enemy that he tries to destroy. And that's why you have to stand firm. This is why I keep saying, stand firm, don't retract, don't go back. And you don't have to go back because verse 15 says that we don't. Because your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God, the devil doesn't want you standing because you bring peace into every situation. You bring peace in your prayers, your intercessions, your supplications. It is a peace that still holds back the powers of darkness. And the enemy knows this. And that is why we stand firm. But sadly, we have many who are carried about by these doctrines of demons, are deceived, get caught up in this new teaching or whatever it is. We call them the wiles of the devil. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing new under the sun. So don't even try looking for it. Because it's a mirage. It's a lie of the enemy. We stand firm for this purpose. And this is why many compromise. And this is why many lack commitment, consecration. They're compromising because they're not standing upon the word of God and upon the promises of God's word. They're not going to let you down. And the enemy's trying to work with fear. It's not going to work. And what he does, he tries to get our eyes off the Lord and get us looking to one another or looking to someone who believed in that area. And look what happened to them. They're 6 foot under now. He's a master at doing that. Well, why should that be with you? Okay, that may have happened. We don't know. God's on the throne. But it doesn't mean to say it's going to happen to you. And yet how the enemy tries to make it look so logical. And we find ourselves compromising. But brothers and sisters, we have got to stand like never before in these last days. Because all I know sometimes is just to stand. I don't know anymore. But whatever, by the grace and mercy of God, I continue to stand. Because I've got those spiritual sandals on and I'm not going to remove them. I'm not going to remove them. I'm not. I need that because that keeps me walking. That keeps me standing. That enables me to be able to pray, intercede, believe and bring that peace, the peace of God. Because when that peace goes in the last days, I'm going to say it exactly as it is. It will be hell let loose. It will, for a season. So we have to stand now like we have never stood before, brothers and sisters, in these last days. So having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's called a preparation of the gospel of peace. All of these words are very important in Scripture. What is this understanding of preparation? See, so many started by the Spirit and are ended in the flesh. Great moves over the century, revivals, great starts, God manifesting himself, his glory, but sadly, history shows us so often finished in the flesh because man tries to take over. He wants to control. And God will not let this army that is being trained be controlled by the arm of the flesh. No way. You try and do it, and we've all tried, and you will see how God interjects, how he comes in, and he will put you to one side if need be. Don't touch this. This is a holy, divine work of God. You see, there are so many believers who are stuck in a rut. They're procrastinating. They're just going round and round and round and hoping for a revival or looking back to the past of the last great revival. They're stuck in the past, not moving on, have no vision. So the message of overcoming, the deeper life teaching in nature, is a message of preparation. And it most certainly has and is. And this will not let you procrastinate. Why? Because the bride is preparing herself. That is why. And she can only prepare herself if she has, verse 15, having shod her feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that is what it is. You minister that peace. You live with the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace lives in your life, your heart. You are peaceable with those whom you meet. This is why God deals with this fighting, this critical spirit, this divisive spirit. This is why he deals with it in the house of God. And we've seen in FGA how God has dealt with this. Do you know why? Because they don't believe in the gospel of peace. Because that's what it is. Yeah. And you have to experience it. And you cannot experience it if you've got people who are backbiting and arguing and bickering all the time. That is contrary to the way we walk. And therefore the enemy can get in. Because the scriptures tell us it's devilish, it's demonic. Mm. That's what it is. Yeah. And this is sadly where the enemy gets into the house of God. Through trying to divide, causing suspicion, fear, criticism, and so on. And it clearly shows they do not understand the gospel of peace. It's not affecting their heart. It is simply just in the mind. They're religious. You have to change. So, brothers and sisters, as I bring this now to its conclusion for today, and I think that's enough for us to take in. There's still more to come. We are seeing clearly now what this armour is about. It is twofold. It is an armour which we put on for warfare, and it is an armour that we walk in 24/7 that keeps us in relationship, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with each other. So we are seeing how important the whole armour of God is. Because if we haven't got it, if we are not wearing it, we are not experiencing it, then we are not going to have that fellowship that Jesus is going to be and share amongst his believers, that's preparing us for the greater works in these last days. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. You are so faithful. Lord, we just experience the quickening of your spirit. As you just quicken us, you revive us, Lord. We are so aware of its cleansing, its washing. We just want more and more because we know it's right. And this isn't feelings or emotions. It's the truth that's setting us free. We know that flesh and blood can't reveal this. It can only come by your Spirit, Lord. Father, may each of us experience what we're being taught in this. Please don't just let it be theology, just staying in the mind, the head. We want to live this, experience this. We want to give you all the glory. Because this is how we stand, Lord, in these last days. Because we are seeing the wickedness upon the face of the earth growing like a paralysis. And Lord, as it gets blacker and darker, so we're going to be exposed more and more in these last days. We are going to be those beacons, those lights, Father, because we hold to the truth, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, I thank you that we've had fellowship today with you and each other. And Lord, I pray for those who've come into the room, ever bless, preserve, and keep them in the truth, the purity of your word, until we fellowship again. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, it's always a privilege to be able to share with you all and just to play that small part in the building up of the body of Christ. That is all we want. That is all the desire of our heart is to build, to encourage his body, his bride, as she's making herself ready. That's all we want.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by night. Coming.